All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to talk about the pathetic opposition to Donald Trump tonight. Let me say to everybody in the chat, Snag Dog is on, Prayer Works 2 is on, Tim L. T-Bird's on, Lady Vu is on, Judy Anita's on, Joanne's is on, Gritterdom is on, Malamute Lover is on, USA Abbey Girl is on, Peg McGroin is on, Mike Griffith's on, Ian Mark is on, Robin Aroni's on, Gritterdom is on, Regina Loves Art is on, Michelle Tal is on, Key Lime 13 is on, Buckeye Nut 1968 is on, Dave Souders is on, Sixlin's on, Keeper 1376 is on, Granite 2468 is on, Leon Fish Puppy is on, Ferrison 77 is on, Veronica 182001 is on, Richard Perry 49 is on, Peg Joe's on, K4VMS is on, Luann 5 is on, LA 106 Times is on. All right, let me scroll down. The Picket Fence is on, Jim Kohler is on, Uncle Wally's on, Mickey 44 is on. Let me see here, Titus is on, Milwaukee James is on, Nate Dad is on, Sunmu 45 is on, Snodod 311 is on, Big Scott 1 is on, Stefan Toms is on. Let me see here. Producer Aaron is on. Those Jesus people is on. Appreciate you guys. JC360 is on. One Fast Rob is on. Confederate One is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop on to it tonight. Nothing from the pregame. DC Drano video. Big deal today is that Perkins Coie has had their security clearance revoked by executive order. DC Drano video, remember how Steele dossier was facilitated by Hillary Clinton, Democrat law firm Perkins Coie. Play for me, Will.
Sir, your administration has made it a priority both to end lawfare and the weaponization of government and also to hold those who have engaged in lawfare accountable. One of the law firms that has been involved in that is called Perkins Coie. That's also a law firm that has engaged in unlawful DEI practices. This executive order will suspend
security. And I've watched it take place.
This executive order will suspend security clearances and access to certain federal resources for that law firm and also launch a holistic review of unlawful DEI practices at some of the nation's largest law firms.
This is an absolute honor to sign. What they've done is just terrible. It's a weaponization. You could say weaponization against a political opponent, and it should never be allowed to happen again. And you're looking at about 15 different firms?
That or more, sir, yes.
Okay.
So Trump says you're looking at 15 other firms because, and again, I want to look at the financial records of all of these law firms. Where are they receiving this money from? Again, if you're only acting in the political arena, then how in the world are you making all of this money? I'm talking about tens of millions up to billions of dollars. How are these law firms making all this money? Are they actually making that money, or is Will and Aaron and me and you and everybody else paying for it through funding NGOs that pay the law firms? You're like, Tom, you're going way overboard with this NGO stuff. Am I? Are we sure I really am? Is anybody really actually a millionaire on the left? I mean, we really need to look into this, because is anybody actually a millionaire, or have you and I been funding NGOs that's been financing Democrats, and that's what we've been doing our entire life? Like Elon Musk was talking about, we're all just plugged into the matrix. We've never really given a legitimate chance to succeed via mass government regulations and various other things and tax policy and things like that. That maybe even hard work's not enough at times. And again, we can always break through. And if you are trusting Jesus, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. I get that. And believe me, I trust in that more than anything else. But I'm just saying, we need to go into the financial records, the tax returns of all of these law firms that always end up prosecuting, persecuting our side of the aisle, the conservatives or the Republican Party, namely Donald Trump. And he said, it's an absolute honor to sign this. Just remember now, where does Perkins Coie fit in? Well, you had the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC hired Perkins Coie to orchestrate the collusion hoax. I mean, Mark Elias needs to be in federal prison for the rest of his life. He does, because all he does is lie. All he does is perjure himself. All he does is conjure up fake police reports is basically what this man does. So you have the DNC. They hire Perkins Coie, which then hires Fusion GPS, which again, how does Fusion GPS make money? I guarantee you it's NGO money that you and I pay for our own political prosecution and persecution. I guarantee you there's how else would Fusion GPS make money? What do they produce? Nothing. It's like a Biden LLC. It's like a, you know, it's a Biden shell company. They don't never produce any goods or services, but somehow they're always flushed with billions of dollars because again, and we're going to get deep into that tonight. Right before Biden left office, they got rid of they put out $378 billion into NGOs that he hadn't even gone through the proper paperwork yet. We'll get into that later. But anyway, so the DNC and Hillary Clinton hire Perkins Coie to hire Fusion GPS, who hired Christopher Steele, former MI6 agent, who then hired Igor Danchenko to go and harvest open source data off of Google. Open source is a, it sounds like this really technical, in the know sort of behind the scenes term. No, it's just open source data. It's simply if you Google Tom Lightplane, whatever point comes up, you Google Ronald Reagan, whatever comes up, that's open source data. And all Igor Danchenko did, and by the way, he was actually ended up being interviewed by the FBI, and he told them it was all bar talk and made up. And then they filed FISA warrants on Donald Trump to get to wiretap Carter Page. So listen to this campaign Joshi video. We've played this on the podcast before, or we've said this stuff on the podcast before. Campaign Joshi video. Perkins Coie is so dirty that they actually had a secure FBI workspace in their offices. It's not me. This is Tucker Carlson. Inside of the Perkins Coie law firm was an FBI station. Perkins Coie, Aaron, I thought the FBI was unbiased. Oh, I thought they were neutral. Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought if you're going to be in law enforcement, if you're going to be a judge, I thought you have to be, you know, politically unbiased. I mean, am I crazy? But I mean, here in a purely Democrat, you and I wouldn't even be allowed to step foot in Perkins Coie, let alone file a lawsuit or retain an attorney for Perkins Coie, because we're on the wrong side of the aisle. But lo and behold, the FBI maintenances a station, a secure station, inside of Perkins Coie, which again, where Michael Sussman ended up working, who ended up was the one who lied via his communications with the CIA, which we'll get into later. All right, so anyway, so the FBI is in office inside of Perkins Coie. Play for me.
The jury today, comprised of several Hillary Clinton donors, acquitted a lawyer called Michael Sussman of lying to the FBI. Now, who's Michael Sussman? Sussman is a former partner at the law firm Perkins Coie, the biggest Democratic firm, the firm that represented Hillary Clinton's campaign. And in that capacity at Perkins Coie, Sussman laundered false information about the Trump campaign to the FBI. So pretty tight relationship between Sussman and the FBI. We're learning tonight much more about the connection between the FBI and Sussman's former law firm, Perkins Coie. Congressman Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan have just received a letter from Perkins Coie's attorneys. This show can report exclusively that in that letter, Perkins Coie admits the FBI has maintained a, quote, secure work environment within Perkins Coie offices for more than a decade, going back to 2012. What? According to the letter, quote, Perkins Coie is responsible to the FBI for maintaining the secure work environment. That workspace, whatever it is still in operation today. Ever heard of anything like this? No one we spoke to has. Matt Gaetz is the man who found this. He's, of course, a member of Congress from the state of Florida. He joins us tonight. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on. This is bizarre. Tell us what it is and what you think it means.
We got a report from a whistleblower that we confirmed through multiple admissions, including this letter, showing that the Democrat Party's law firm, the law firm that received $42 million from the Democratic Party, has this co-located workspace that they operate in concert with the FBI. Why in the world would that be the case? Why would Christopher Wray allow it to continue? Then you also have to ask yourself, why within the last 12 months was the person on behalf of Perkins Coie operating that work site, Michael Sussman himself? And we heard through this trial that you just referenced that the FBI believed Michael Sussman was lying to them in 2017 when he was shuttling false information about Trump into the intelligence process. And now we learned for 4 years after that lie, Michael Sussman was in fact operating this secure work environment. So what reason would there be for that? And what leverage would the Perkins law firm have over the FBI, given this work they're doing together?
So I know that this story, to the extent they can, will be ignored by the media. And to the extent they can ignore it, they'll say, well, this is just normal. There are good reasons for this. You're an attorney. You serve with a lot of other attorneys. This is not normal, correct?
I have spoken to former federal prosecutors on the Judiciary Committee and throughout the country, and I have not heard any describe a relationship like this with a private law firm, and especially because Michael Sussman was an election lawyer. Why in the world would an election lawyer be operating this facility in this way? And our concern is that politically motivated dirt was being converted into politically motivated investigations. That's why Jim Jordan and I are making demands for answers on Christopher Wray immediately. And it's my hope, certainly, that we shut this facility down. The Democratic Party shouldn't have this special access, special portal to the FBI, especially knowing what we do now, that they were often trying to take this opposition research and then use that for law enforcement and counterintelligence purposes.
Yeah, you can't politicize the country's biggest law enforcement agency. I mean, that's completely third world, and you've borne the brunt of that, as we both know. Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida, I appreciate your...
All right, so we got a deep dive on this because the Perkins Coie EO was signed today, so we're deep diving into it. Obviously, it's an older broadcast, but it shows you what was going on at Perkins Coie. There's a reason why Donald Trump wants to sign EOs, not basically banning these specific law firms from having any access to the federal government. That's what he's doing. The reason why is that Perkins Coie set him up in the collusion hoax, for one thing, via Mark Elias. Mark Elias, also, as I've said 5,000 times on the show, he's also who set up the corrupt election in Georgia in 2020. He set it up with Brad Raffensperger. Why was Brad, well, think about this, why would Brad Raffensperger, Secretary of State, the conservative Republican, just got reelected a couple years ago, conservative Republican Secretary of State for the state of Georgia, why would he meet with Perkins Coie? You and I aren't allowed in there. Would it be that his secret identity is leftard? Yes, it is, because him and Mark Elias and Perkins Coie met in it was about May of 2020 to make it impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election. Why would a conservative Republican be meeting with Mark Elias from Perkins Coie, who set up Donald Trump via the collusion hoax? Why would he be meeting to make it impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election when they knew that this was going to be the election where you most needed in the history of America to be able to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election, because it's a mass mail-in election? Why? Obviously, to make it so that Trump would lose Georgia, and he did by 11,000 votes. Mission accomplished. That's why we got the deep dive into what Perkins Coie is. I mean, Perkins Coie is maintaining an FBI, a quote from the FBI, secure work environment. Who even talks like that? That's a secure work environment. We are governed by manly women and feminine men. And it's really what we're governed by. Manly women who think that they're men and effeminate men. That's what we're actually governed by. You just look at Michael Sussman himself. Hi, my name's Michael Sussman. So you have Michael Sussman working in that office. Michael Sussman, again, you're supposed to be unbiased, right? You're supposed to be nonpartisan as the law enforcement officer, right? You're supposed to be nonpartisan. Well, you have Michael Sussman working in the FBI office in this secure work environment. And he sends an email. This is what he ended up being prosecuted for and found guilty, but now already has his law license back. What a surprise. And can you imagine if the Republican Party, if a Republican law firm, let's just say Yeager Lipley law firm, had a FBI office in it? I mean, and the only reason why they can even get away with this is because like the video that I showed you in the pregame, where you have a mockingbird Pravda Goebbels media repeating whatever it is that the CIA says. So the CIA sends an email to Michael Sussman, FBI attorney. Sends him an email. Does Carter Page, Sussman sends an email to the CIA. Is Carter Page an asset of yours? Pretty simple, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Yay or nay? So the CIA sends them back. Yes, he is. Sussman changes it to no, he isn't. That's why he got prosecuted and found guilty for obstruction of an investigation. And now he has his law license back. He's practicing again in D.C., probably for Perkins Coie. Probably just walked out of that office and went to another NGO-funded Democratic Party law firm, because basically the entire Democratic Party is a Ponzi scheme that's being funded by taxpayer dollars via NGOs. All right, the White House video, President Trump, another victory for President Trump, announces a $20 billion investment in the United States. Play for me.
Today, we're delighted to be joined by Rodolphe Sade, the chairman and CEO of CMA CGM, one of the largest shipping companies in the world, probably number two in the world, probably going to be number one in the not-too-distant future, knowing him. They employ over 160,000 employees. They have 750 major container vessels worldwide. And I'm thrilled to announce that he's going to be investing $20 billion into the United States because of the election results, which comes along with a lot of other things like great protections and other things. This massive investment will go toward building out shipping logistics, infrastructure, and terminals, which will create an estimated 10,000 new jobs in America. It's so important because it's about shipping. You know, we lost our way for many years. We haven't done anything. We used to build a ship a day, and now we essentially don't build ships. We're going to start that, and we're going to be announcing next week or the week after a massive new program for building very large, the largest ships in the world.
And Trump is always playing 4D chess here. Why would he do this? Why would we want to start building ships? Well, that would be obvious. Tom, no, it is obvious. I understand that. But why would we want to do this? Who has the most advanced Navy on the planet? It is not us. It is China. So why is that? Well, China has a lot more ships, too. Why? Because we don't build ships anymore, and they do. So what is Trump doing? And by the way, what they do is, the reason why they have so many more ships than we do is even their private ships are military grade. Their private shipping is military grade, so they can be retrofitted to be military ships in a matter of a few months or years. Because obviously it takes a long time to build a ship. But anyway, so what Trump is doing here is building a shipping industry to build the United States Navy and or private ships that can be retrofitted into military ships. That's what he's doing. It's not by accident that he's doing this. No, it's also a nice little side benefit, little Benny on the side, when he got 10,000 American jobs added. Why didn't Biden do this? I'm just curious. So far, Trump has added, it was a $500 billion investment by a company I can't remember, so I'm sorry about that one. Honda, OpenAI, microchips from Taiwan, hundreds of billions of dollars. Trump has done in 45 days. And there's more. I just can't remember them all. There's more also. Massive investments in the United States economy. Massive. And you know, with all these tariffs and everything else, we may end up with an ERS, an external revenue service, instead of Apple. Thank you, Aaron. $500 billion you demand. You demand. Good job. Awesome. So that, you know, that's the thing. So anyway, yeah, $500 billion, that's a big one. Apple and OpenAI, that's two huge tech companies now competing against each other for AI infrastructure. This is fantastic. And then, you know, they're going to lose to both of them. We know who they're going to lose to. They're going to lose to Elon Musk. We all know that. But anyway, so look at all this money. Why didn't Biden do any of this? I mean, if you're a Democrat, you don't ask these questions. If I was a Republican and I was and my opposition party's candidate, politician, president, whatever, representative was greatly outperforming mine, I'd be thinking, should I be a Democrat? It's amazing Democrats still don't think that way. But here's the thing. I take that back to some degree, because more and more videos are coming out now where Democrats are saying we're done. And yet, whether the Democrats' woeful performance at Trump's pseudo State of the Union the other night, there's a lot of Democrats going, okay, well, I'm done. If you like, we showed the video where Trump is renaming a park after a woman who was raped and killed by an illegal alien that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris let in, and Alejandro Mayorkas let in. I always like to give due credit where credit is due. And they all clap because Trump says, I'm renaming a park after, and the Democrats flatlined on the, you know, digital response screen. You're finished. You're done. You've been defeated by someone who does play 4D chess. And the problem was that Trump was always playing 4D chess. But the first time he came into office, he didn't know what the chess set was. Now he knows. He knows. Just like he said to the Democrats, I know there's nothing I can ever do to please you. All right, go to the next one for me. Caroline Levitt tweet. This is more fake news. Trump to revoke legal status for 240,000 Ukrainians as U.S. steps up deportations. That is not true yet, Caroline Levin. Yet? Are they considering it? Yes, but it hasn't happened yet. So as usual, Reuters, let's see now. Who does Reuters receive money from? Aaron, do you know? It's
me.
USAID. Yeah. Aaron, yeah, you and me and Will and everybody else. That's, we fund a multi-billion dollar media giant. Why would they need it? Well, probably because nobody reads their crap except when they can actually publish it because we pay for it. Them, New York Times, billions of dollars from you and I so that Reuters can lie to us. We're actually paying for Joseph Goebbels. So Caroline Levin says this is more fake news from Reuters based on anonymous sources who have no idea what they're talking about. Who are the anonymous sources? Reuters reporters themselves, of course. Let's go to the next one. Thomas Hurd video. Shermichael Singleton shuts down CNN. Play for me.
They don't like it, right? It's fine until it comes for them.
Sure.
Right now it's coming for them.
But who's cutting Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security?
We're not taking that away from anybody.
There is a proposal
We're not taking that away from anybody. How could you have voted for the blueprint?
Using
this talking point as a scare tactic. Elon Musk, the president, the House Majority Leader, the Senate Leader, we have not cut anyone's
How are you cutting $880 billion from the Energy and Commerce Appropriation Committee unless you cut Medicaid?
Do you think those things will solve it?
Excuse me? Do you think?
Simple question.
Answer my question.
It's a simple financial question.
Do we not need
any level of reform?
I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question. You're saying we're not cutting Medicaid.
We're not.
We're not.
Where's the legislation that's been passed by Congress, signed by the President, where there are cuts?
What is this budget blueprint that every single Republican will want to vote for?
It's an idea. Everybody has an idea. Julie, that doesn't mean the idea has been actualized.
It's not an idea. It is a blueprint that they said, go ahead.
It's not a scare tactic, Julie. That's what you're doing right now. It's a scare tactic.
Why did Congress bother wasting everybody's time voting for a blueprint that said cut $880 billion, from energy and commerce? The only way to achieve that is to cut Medicaid. How are they going to do that?
Unicorns exist. Where have we made the cuts? It's a simple question.
Where
have we made the cuts?
Where and when have we made the cuts? You put a blueprint forward to allow Congress to do that. Then why did you waste time doing it? Why?
Okay, where have you made the cuts? You've made the cuts, for example, to USAID.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually listed into my Trump opposition segment of the show. So you have Anna Navarro there at the end. Let's go back to front. So Anna Navarro, so you have Shermichael Singleton the entire time saying, where are the cuts? Because Democrats are making all these videos right now. They're talking about the budget that the Republicans are trying to pass right now. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. Imagine being a Democrat. You're against that. I thought you were the party for the working class. But anyway, so Anna Navarro, so after Shermichael Thomas keeps asking the commentator, where are the cuts? That's what I'm always saying. COVID's a deadly disease. Where are the bodies? Just show me the bodies. I'll believe you. Show me infected COVID bodies that are dead. Show me. I'll act like it's a plague then too. But again, where are the cuts? Where are they? Name the cuts. She never can the entire time. I mean, this is our opposition. There's $880 billion worth of cuts to energy and commerce, which certainly isn't Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security. Would everybody agree? Where exactly are these cuts that Republicans are doing? So Anna Navarro stupidly comes in at the end. She goes, you keep asking, where are the cuts? They cut a USAID. That's got nothing to do with this. It's got nothing to do with this at all. USAID has nothing to do with this budget. USAID has already been cut. It's got nothing to do with Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. USAID has got nothing to do with that. That's how stupid these people are. And it's bad enough. I'll be honest with you. I can't stand stupid people. You know, people that drive slow in the left lane. They're stupid people. I mean, I don't like them anymore than you do.
Yeah.
But the worst kind of stupid is somebody who thinks they're smart and is stupid. Yeah. When you're sitting there talking about budget, USAID's got nothing to do with energy and commerce cuts. And they're saying, well, there's no way for you to achieve those cuts without cutting. That's what you're saying. How do you know we can't cut $880 billion out of a $7 trillion budget? $880 billion, that's basically cutting 75% of $1 trillion. We can't cut. Let me bring this up to you. What was our budget pre-COVID? We all should know this. Our budget was between $4.5 to $5 trillion per year. Now, the problem with that is that we were only bringing in $4 trillion worth of tax income. So problem is when you have between $4 and $5 trillion, that's why we kept every year. Remember, we were less than $1 trillion in debt in 2025. And when you have a budget that's $1 trillion over what you're bringing in tax revenue, then you're going $1 trillion every year in debt, right? Everyone would agree. So prior to COVID, our budget was $4.5 to $5 trillion per year, going sending us into $500 billion to $1 trillion per year in debt, right? Everybody would agree. Mm-hmm. So right at COVID, though, we go up to basically $7 trillion, and because we had to save everybody from the abominable plague, the plague that nobody in this room had any problem with. Nobody in your room had any problem with. Nobody in my church had any problem with. 1,000 people go here. Not one person had a problem with COVID. Weird. And I sent my cameraman around to emergency rooms, and nobody was in there for COVID. During the Delta variant, during the Alpha variant, nobody's in the hospital for COVID, right? So, but lo and behold, we had to spend $7 trillion on COVID, basically adding about 30% to our overall budget every year. We added about $1.5 to $2 trillion during that time, per year during the COVID years, and sometimes more than that, as well as Biden's abominations like the Green New Deal and the Inflation Reduction Act, which all did was inflate inflation. But anyway, so why have we gone back down? If COVID's over, which of course it never was, but if since what never was is now over, why have we not gone back down the $5 trillion? A year. Why are we still at $6.8 trillion? And this idiot has the nerve to say that we can't cut $880 billion and then falsely accuses the Republicans of cutting things they're not cutting. They're cutting $880 billion, quote, out of energy and commerce. Did that sound like Medicaid to you, Aaron?
Nope.
Medicare?
Nope.
Social Security?
Nope.
Okay, so what are these accusations? Just bold-faced Goebbels lies from disingenuous, repulsive human beings who have no soul. Who just will repeat anything so that they can keep getting a paycheck from whatever NGO Will's paying for. That's what life is all about in the United States right now, but it won't be for long because Trump's taking care of it. All right, so here's the funny thing. This one here is just for my own personal amusement, just so you know. It's a Tosca Austin video. Theatrics, the only arrows the Dems have left in their quiver. So, of course, Representative Al Green got censured. It's always hard for me to say censured. But anyway, censured by the House of Representatives, namely by the Republican Party, of course, because he wouldn't be censured if the Democrats were running it, because he sat there and swung a stick at the President of the United States for several minutes and was told to stop and never did during the pseudo State of the Union. So he got censured today, and here's the Democrats' response. Play it for me.
The yeas are 224. The nays are 198, with two answering present. The resolution is adopted. Will Representative Green present himself to the will? By its adoption of House Resolution 189, the House has resolved that Representative Al Green be censured, that Representative Al Green forthwith present himself in the will of the House of Representatives for the pronouncement of censure, and that Representative Al Green be censured with public reading of this resolution by the Speaker. The House had come to order. The House had come to order. The House to come to order. Clear the well, please. Clear the well. The House has to continue its business. Pursuant to Clause 12A of Rule 1, the House will stand in recess subject to the call of the chair.
I mean, imagine being that clueless that you think that's going to work for you. Like the American people are going to look at what exactly are you overcoming? You're overcoming that waste, fraud, and abuse is being cut on a daily basis by billions of dollars. That's what you're overcoming. You're overcoming that men are being pulled out of women's sports and bathrooms and showers. That's what you're overcoming. You're overcoming the reductions of debts and deficits. That's what you're overcoming. You're overcoming that your idiot Representative Al Green, who doesn't need that pimp stick he walks with, was removed from the House because he was talking over an address by the President of the United States. That's what you're overcoming? What? I mean, imagine that being your problems. Imagine the rest of the world looking at the United States saying, you feel like you have to sing We Shall Overcome. And by the way, this is a helpful hit for all the Democrats that may be watching right now. If you're going to sing, find somebody who can freaking sing. I mean, really, if you're going to sing, find somebody that can actually carry a tune in a bucket. Find somebody. Because they always start off these songs by somebody singing off key, and it sounds like a bunch of cats with their nads tied together. That's what it sounds like. I mean, I'm like, find somebody who can actually sing if you're going to do this. There's got to be somebody who can actually sing. Has some sort of chorus or choir background that can actually sing. But imagine the rest of the world looking at us and saying, that's what Americans need to overcome. You have people starving to death in all these third world countries being basically euthanized by Bill Gates. And that's what you have to be. That's what you have to sing about. That's what you have to overcome, is that you got removed for screaming at the President of the United States. Not just screaming, but swinging your stick at him during a presidential address. You're having to overcome that men are being removed out of women's bathrooms. You're having to overcome that Trump is getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse of the federal government. And you're having to overcome that waste, fraud, and abuse benefits you. That's why you don't want them to get rid of it. So the Democrats have come up with an ingenious tactic. And I want to, this older millennial video, I want to reiterate that this video is actually real. He'll tell you that it's real. But it's actually real. The Democrats believe this video that I'm about to show you is going to politically benefit them somehow. Play for me, Will.
We have a new contender for cringiest political ad ever. That's a real video. They really did that. Whoever is running social media for the Democrat Party of the United States of America, keep it up.
That's the real deal. That is a real video. They believe this is going to help. This. I mean, what are you doing? What is the bouncing up and down thing? Why do they put her in a pimp parlor? What does this do? What does that mean? You're fighting? You go like this? You jump? Look at this one. That's the cringiest one of all. Well, maybe there's a cringe. What does this mean? I mean, I'm around a lot of fighters every week because my son's an MMA fighter. I don't know what tactic this is right here, but I mean, I guess the Democrats believe that somehow this is going to help you. I mean, I'm just starting to wonder if they have absolutely no idea of the environment that they exist in. That this is going to be, it's just like how they all, you can bring it back to me, how they all ended up on the video speaking from the exact same script. What was there, 22 of them?
Yeah, 22.
22 of them end up speaking from the exact same script. I mean, people like Aaron's generation, who have now, Will's 10 years older than Aaron, and I'm 15 years older than Will, but Will may have touched, I mean, Will is now part of it now, so am I, but like he grew up out of it like I did for the most part. But people like Aaron, who are 30 and below, all they know is accountability via social media. I mean, how do you expect to get away from that video that I just showed you? That's all over social media, and they're being crucified, and this is a party with a 28% approval rating. And you're going to put that out? You mean, you're going to... You know, I guess you don't realize, Aaron, what's the gender? How do the generations work? Gen X, Gen Z? Well, I don't know what the name, how they line up or what the age requirements are.
Yeah.
But the people that grew up on all social media, I mean, they're kind of agnostics.
Yeah, millennials. As far,
political, millennials, thank yep. you. The millennials are agnostics politically. They kind of hate both Republicans and Democrats. Who are they going to hate more now? Don't see us putting out that crap. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? Okay, Dinesh D'Souza video. Oh, here, this is Catherine Clark from, of course, the sanctuary state of Massachusetts. Talking about how she feels. Play for me.
I am angry today. I am angry what I saw, that that president of the United States who ran and had people vote for him because he said he was going to cut their costs, he was going to make sure they had a chance at the American dream, has come in with an unelected richest man on earth and taken a chainsaw to everything we care about, everything the American people put their trust in him to do. It is a betrayal. It is a betrayal. So let's not talk about decorum when the plot is exposed and reiterated every single day. You take people's health care, you take our veterans' benefits, you take funding for our public schools, and you do it all of it, to give a tax cut to the very wealthiest people who won't even notice it, but whose greed knows no bounds.
Giving it to billionaires. See if we can remember all these guys. So he says, cutting education, right? Yeah. Where? Show it to us in the bill, please. Show us where they're cutting education. No, they're not cutting education. They're cutting the Department of Education. That has nothing to do with educating human beings, except for the very fact that when we opened the Department of Education, we were about number one in the world in education. Now we're number 40. So the feds, whenever the feds get involved, you get way worse. They're not cutting veterans' benefits at all. Name it. Where's that in the bill? Lies. She said they're cutting people's medical benefits. Where? Lies. Not cutting any. It has nothing to do with cutting people, getting rid of, if you find that there was a $40 billion Medicaid fraud circuit going on, you get rid of that? Is that cutting people's benefits? Which has already been found. And when you find out that you have, let's just say, 3,100,000 people receiving Social Security benefits over 130 to 139 years of age, and you cut that from happening, is that cutting people's benefits? When you cut tons of VA workers from the VA who do nothing, is that affecting the veterans? They don't do anything. All these VA workers are calling about tens of thousands are cutting them right now from the VA. Does that have anything to do with veterans care? No, what it is it's almost like the NGO model. Well, basically what you have is one committee that has to get the approval from another committee, that has to get approval from another committee, that has to get approval from another committee, so that Will can go in and get services because he has a shrapnel wound that causes him muscle damage. But it has to go from one committee to the next committee, to the next committee, to the next committee, next committee, to get approval from the original committee to treat Will's injuries. He's a war veteran. Not that he has to go get any treatment. I'm just saying. That's what's being cut. It's got nothing to do with Will's treatment being cut. It has to do with cutting useless people who are actually in the way of veterans getting treatment. So have you ever met one person from that regularly deals with the VA that has a positive thing to say about the VA? I haven't, not in person. I had one person in the chat say that they've had a good relationship with the VA in South Florida. But other than that, I haven't heard of anybody. So the people, the thousands of people that are supposed to be facilitating care for our veterans aren't doing a good job. So they're being cut, not the care for the actual veterans. Please see the difference. We skipped one. Did I not put that pic of that chick up with you guys?
No.
I didn't.
We'll
gosh,
grab it.
Dog it.
We'll grab it.
It's right. If you can, it's on her. There you go. That's it. Thank you. You're the man. I just want, Aaron, see if you can zoom in on her face. Can you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, she looks like she's got a corkscrew jammed up her anus. Look at this. Look at this lady.
It's scary.
Yeah. Look at that face. I mean, this is a person that we trust. And she's always talking about, Elon Musk is destroying our trust in our federal institutions. I didn't have it anyway. And if you do have trust in him, you're stupid. Because these are the people that run them right here. People like that. Look at this. She looks literally demon possessed. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, new MRC Newsbusters video. Remember when corporate media kept telling us there's only so much Biden can do about the border crisis? Play for him.
Republicans keep saying Biden doesn't need Congress. He can stop what's happening at the border all by himself. Can you fact check that for us? Because we here all know that's not true.
Republicans have been saying, largely wrongly, right, saying that the president can close the border unilaterally on his own. The president actually doesn't have the authority under law to do that.
There's only so much President Biden can do with executive action, and he did try
to do whatever he could.
They actually are doing everything they can.
The president's hands are tied. There's only so much that he can do.
President Biden has issued certain executive orders, but there's only so much he can do within his purview.
What an intractable problem this is for the president with no easy solutions.
No easy solutions here.
There are no easy solutions here, folks.
The president insisting there's only so much he can do without Congress.
How much can actually be done quickly without Congress acting?
How would this happen without the power of the purse, without Congress getting involved?
They need Congress to act to fix the broken immigration system.
This cannot happen without Congress resourcing this.
There's only so much a president can do with his pen and his phone.
Are these the trusted establishments that we're losing trust in? We're losing our trust in our federal government. We're losing trust in our law enforcement. Oh, like the FBI is worthy of trust? Like the federal government's worthy of trust, like the media is worthy of trust. Not one thing those people just said, and they espoused it over the last 4 years of Joe Biden. Donald Trump left office in January of 2021 with basically the same border numbers that there are right now, about 8,000 border contacts a day. Under Joe Biden, 300,000 illegal entries a day. Everyone get those numbers? 300,000 illegals allowed in the country per day. And those are the numbers that they wanted us to see. That's what they thought was that's as low as they could make them in a way that they probably weren't committing a crime in their own mind by putting out those numbers. And now it's 8,000 contacts a day versus 300,000 illegal entries a day. And these people, these are people that live like in your neighborhoods. I mean, upper middle class neighborhoods or multi-million, depending on where they are in the media. They have their kids in the same, soccer teams and schools and everything else. And they're absolutely disingenuous stenographers for the globalist left. I mean, absolutely reprehensible, repulsive human beings. I mean, just imagine being somebody who will just say what somebody else wants them to say. Just go out and say that. And whether you believe it or not, just say it and I'll pay you to say it. I mean, what a disgusting human being all these people are. Not one thing they said was true. We need comprehensive border reform. No, you don't. Just close the border. There's nothing to be done here. No, this is whatever they ask Kamala Harris. We've had these problems for many years now, and it would take a joint action between the White House and Congress to solve this problem. And why? I mean, again, if you're a Democrat right now, why are you not running to a podium like this and saying, you know what, we were wrong. We were wrong. All it takes is the right person in the Oval Office. You can close the border because the border's already closed statutorily. It's closed. What Joe Biden did was act in the opposite of antithetical to the existing statute, which is our border's closed. It's always been closed, and he opened it. So all you have to do if you open it is reclose it. That's all you need to do, which why would it ever be open? And if you do open it, you're committing an act of treason. All right, we're talking about our opposition right now. That was Oppo Media, which we, unlike Zelensky, allow our opposition media to exist. Colin Rugg video and all the – it's so funny because all the our own opposition media that we allow to exist – support a guy who wouldn't allow them to exist if they were opposing the person who's currently in power. All right, Colin Rugg video. It's amazing, isn't it, how stupid people are? A Colin Rugg video, unearthed video, shows Jasmine Crockett talking with a much different accent than the one she has now adopted in Congress. Play for me.
Absolutely. First of all, it's good to see you in the new year. No one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress. It's just not what my plan was. But what I've always decided is that I would step up when there was a need.
Listen, he up there, he's doing all kinds of nonsense and bull. Let me just be real. And we weren't gonna sit for that. We wouldn't,
But when she called me and said, I think it's time for me to retire, and you're the one that I believe should take my seat, I really was kind of caught off guard. I didn't anticipate that. If anyone knows anything about the Congresswoman, they know.
We showed up, and if he had some sense, then maybe we would have been about that life. But y'all know he ain't got no sense. So please give some love. This took a little bit of coordinating to do, for sure. We got some cool shirts.
The congressional seat is over four times as large as my House seat. And I was just starting to get into the rhythm of doing constituent services and things like that.
We got Madam Williams, who just happens to have the honorary seat. It's not even honorary because she's holding it down, y'all. But the legend himself, John Lewis, that is the seat in which she currently serves. So she honored his legacy. This is the message.
So everything's live. By the way, Jasmine Crockett, alleged street urchin, alleged gangsta from the streets. She was raised in an upper middle class family in St. Louis and went to private schools. She was raised in a privileged life. She had a privileged upbringing, and suddenly she's adopted this ghetto street accent. She didn't remotely talk like that at all. 2 years ago, didn't remotely talk like that. Aaron was talking about how Barack Obama would do the exact same thing, would change his accent wherever he went. This just shows you. And if people will do that, you shouldn't trust them with your money. You shouldn't trust them as your representative. People who will morph themselves into being what you want, what they think that you want. And it gets way worse. Whether we edited that video, it gets way worse. And I could have played another one that I found today that was even better. But it was just, I couldn't have Aaron. There was too many cuss words to actually have Aaron edit. I got to show you this one. Nick Sorter video. Here's former SDM, Southern District of New York, FBI director who hid the Epstein files from Pam Bondi. Here he is exiting today because he was forced to retire, which he was. It was resign or be fired. So you can resign now and get your pension or you can be fired. All right, so he did. James did, and he decided he was going to retire. And here's how he orchestrated his own exit from the building. Play for me.
An extraordinary scene outside of the New York FBI office in the last hour. Assistant Director in Charge James Dennehy, who was forced to resign under pressure this week, left the building to cheers from hundreds of his colleagues and the sound of bagpipes. He was forced out after clashing with Donald Trump's Justice Department after the removal of senior FBI leaders and requests for the names of agents who worked on the January 6th cases. He told those gathered that he will be their, quote, best cheerleader on the...
All right, so there you go. Now, aren't bagpipes reserved for funerals, which I guess the funeral would be his career. But now what exactly did he do? I mean, he was forced to resign. Why? I mean, like, you have Nicole Wallace reporting there, who, again, they all know each other. It's all one giant circle bleep symbiote. Bushes are no different than the Obamas, and they go back to CIA days with Barry Satoru, with Barry Satoru, Barack Obama's dad, and Herbert H. Walker Bush being very close. And Herbert H. Walker Bush also very much connected with Mossad and Epstein, too, by the way. But I digress. So anyway, just going back to this year. So bagpipes are usually reserved for one's funeral. But again, maybe he's celebrating his career here. But why was he, Nicole Wallace, what I was going to say about Nicole Wallace is she used to be the press secretary for the Bushes. And now she's an MSNBC hyper-leftist media pundit. So here he is leaving. Now, here is this guy setting this up himself, obviously. This stupid little idiots behind him going like this. Now, these women that are clapping behind him, why was he forced to resign? Because he was hiding the files of a pedophile. Sounds like Keir Starmer. He's hiding the files of a known pedophile. Why would that be? We all need to find out, again, what James Dennehy's income stream is and where does it come from and why would he be motivated to hide? Because rumor has it that, you know, he was the one who sent Pam Bondi 200 pages worth of Epstein files. And there turns out to be thousands upon tens of thousands of pages. By the way, he didn't send any of the DVDs. He didn't send any of the videotapes. He didn't send anything. Why would he do that? Again, why would Tricky Dicky Little Durbin, why would he not release the Epstein flight log? He has it. Why? Explain to me. If you're a leftard, you're watching, log on to Rumble and send me an explanation. So this guy is celebrating himself. It's like his own little Oscars, his own little Tonys, or his own little Grammys. Celebrating himself and what this guy is. You know, he's got, you know, he looks like your prototypical sort of law enforcement officer with the perfect hair and all that. He looks like that. But what he is a disgusting pedophile protector. That's what he did. That's why he was forced to resign. If he would have sent, because they ended up, his office had to be raided by the FBI. So the FBI had to be raided by the FBI to bring back, rumor has it, a truck full of Epstein files, videotapes, and DVDs. Truck full. And why would he not want that? And then you celebrate yourself. Imagine the audacity. I'm imagining what they're doing here is this is a power play, saying, you know what, we are still powerful because we look at I have bagpipes when I leave a building. We are still powerful. Don't mess with us too much. Don't come after me now. Legally, don't come after me legally, because obviously you can't come after him legally for obstructing an investigation, which is a felony crime, by the way. So he needs to go to prison. If Navarro went to prison and Bannon went to prison, they tried to put Donald Trump in prison, Stone went to prison, tried to put Flynn in prison, this guy needs to go to prison. Look at him walking out there. I mean, imagine this is some sort of power play, and those ladies clapping behind him. Do you realize ladies that are clapping behind James Dennehy, or is either your husband, your dad, or whatever, you realize that he was forced to resign for protecting a rapist? Are you aware of that? Not only a rapist himself, but who facilitated hundreds or even thousands of rapes throughout the years. And imagine being that freaking stupid. Imagine that. Thank God every day. When you get up every day who's watching right now, 1,130 people that are watching right now, and we got another minute on CTN. Every day, get up. Get on your knees and thank God you're not as stupid as that girl in the leather pants. I mean, really, thank God. Get up every day and say, thank you, Lord, I'm not as stupid as these people clapping for this pedophile protector. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Charlie Kirk tweet off of Trump finally here. I haven't even gotten the Doge yet. Man, 9:57. Holy moly. We got to do some Doge stuff. We got to cover at least the big Doge story. But here, this is a huge story. Huge. Imagine being a Democrat, and this is what you have propagated basically over the last 10 years, minimum the last 4 years. You have gone out and you have said that these things were beneficial. Charlie Kirk, new research from the University of Texas, which is in Austin, which is no bastion of right-wing conservatism. So believe me, if the University of Texas could have put out an opposite result, they would have. Shows that all the justifications for mutilating children were lies. Hey, everything's a lie. Everything. It's all lies. Whenever you see somebody trying to control your life, they're lying to you. Watch the stalker shows, the shows about stalkers, because that's what the government is. They analyzed more than 100,000 patients. I think that's a pretty good petri dish. Would you not agree?
Yeah.
100,000 patients with gender dysphoria and looked at the outcomes for those who receive surgery versus those that don't. Let me make this more disgusting than Charlie Kirk is here. Let me gross it up a little bit. And looked at the outcome for those who had their penises lopped off, their testicles lopped off, or their breasts lopped off, versus those who chose not to have their penises lopped off, their testicles lopped off, and their breasts lopped off. And here were the results. Males with surgery had depression rates 25% higher compared to males without the surgery. They were 25% more likely to have depression than men who didn't have the surgery. Anxiety rates among that group were 12.8% higher than those who didn't receive the surgery. And the big headline, depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, and substance use disorders were significantly higher among those who underwent the surgery. And here's the thing. None of them went down. Even if it remained the same, that it would be ineffectual. Would everybody agree that the person had suicidal ideation, depression, anxiety prior to having their penis lopped off? And then post-election, they stayed the same. That would be one thing. But that didn't even happen that way. Wouldn't that be a failure if you stayed the same? If you were miserable pre-surgery, you go in there and have your breasts lopped off, you'd think you'd wake up, man, I'm so happy my breasts are gone. Imagine actually thinking that way and being a Democrat who that's your ideology. That's what you fight for. You fight for kids that have the right to lop off their own penises, testicles, and breasts. That's your political ideology. That's your political stance. You refuse to clap for Trump removing men out of women's sports because you want men to be able to leer at women in the shower. Imagine that being what you believe in. That being your philosophy, your ideology, even your theology. Imagine that. And now you've been disproven by a liberal bastion, University of Texas in Austin. You've been proven that you have 100,000 patients and not one of them who had their penis lopped off, testicles lopped off, or breasts lopped off ended up better off, and almost every single one of them ended up worse off. Now it's been proven, absolutely proven with 100,000 patients. It is done. It's finished. And Democrats will still fight for the right for people to make their lives worse. Imagine that being your political platform. We are here as Democrats to ensure the fact that your life gets worse. That really is the platform of the Democratic Party. All right, let's go to the next one. Project Veritas video. Let's go over the $378 billion that was wasted in the waning moments of the Biden administration. Major update. The corruption we uncovered at Biden's EPA may turn out to be our biggest story yet. Play for me.
Video that came out, an undercover video from Veritas that talked about Biden era officials during the transition period, basically saying it's like we're throwing gold bars off the Titanic. You say you found the gold bars.
Gold bars.
Gold bars.
Gold bars.
Gold bars off the Titanic.
Gold bars off the Titanic.
We started working diligently and we located these gold bars.
The only reason we know about this $20 billion in gold bars, which is figurative, is because Project Veritas busted one of the EPA head honchos.
Many of us are also familiar with the video in which a special advisor for implementation within the Biden administration to EPA was caught on camera saying that it's truly like we're on the Titanic, we're throwing gold bars off the edge.
The FBI contacted Brent Efron, the EPA official in the Project Veritas video, on Monday, and the EPA Inspector General's office has also made contact.
So this story is getting a ton of attention. The EPA asking a watchdog to probe a $27 billion Biden-era fund.
Before this money went out, did y'all look at it?
I don't know off the top. I would have to get that for the record.
Can you get that for me, yeah, for the record?
It turns out that this is outright corruption.
How in the world do you have $20 billion in fraudulent expenditures? People should be going to jail for this.
A Project Veritas video in which an EPA official described the urgency to release funds to nonprofits, states, and tribes.
We're not talking about chump change here. We're talking about billions of your tax dollars. We at the EPA and inside the Trump administration have zero tolerance for waste and abuse. We're coming down hard on this.
I'm glad for Project Veritas for highlighting the fact that EPA is corrupt.
Now we're just trying to get the money out as fast as possible before they come in and
So there you go, $20 billion. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, Aaron, put that side by side. I'll show you this headline. So that's just the tip. And this is InfoWars right here. We're going to get into that in just a second. So New York Post, $375 billion. Everybody hear that? Billion. Now they're talking $20 billion there. That was the Project Veritas exposure. $7 billion Kamala Harris gave directly herself. $7 billion. Just gave it away herself. And they were asked, the EPA was asked, the EPA representative was asked in the congressional hearing, before it went out, did you look at it? And her answer was, I'll have to get back to you on that. $20 billion, you don't even look to see where it's going? I mean, again, folks, this is way beyond. It's like Elon said in that famous Rogan clip now, where Elon says, basically, if I tell you what's going on, I'm going to be assassinated. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's viral, obviously, because it's way different than just waste. This might be just, I don't know. But is it waste or is it obviously nepotism and, you know, funneling money? Is it waste or is it fraud? Big difference. Because if you claim that it's one thing and it's another, it's fraud. And when you're dealing with, I mean, like FTX, Aaron, is that Sam Bankman-Fried? Is that right? Sam Bankman-Fried. Yep. FTX, was listening to Tucker's interview of him today from prison. It's 30-something minutes. It's really good interview. But anyway, what's the difference between what he did and what these people are doing? Can anybody explain that to me?
Right.
I mean, because John Podesta's not in prison, and Tucker Carlson said that during the interview. How in the world is Sam Bankman-Fried, who I'm no fan of, by the way, and here's the weird thing with him, though. Here's the weird thing. Remember when, don't let me forget Aaron, Sam Bankman-Fried, but remember when Trump addressed the WEF and he said, you know, this was in late 2019, remember, when Trump addressed the WEF and said that what was most important was American nationalism. Remember that? And then lo and behold, a few months later, COVID-19 came out. Well, Sam Bankman-Fried had secretly began to funnel money into Republican causes. And then suddenly his business goes down. Weird, isn't it? I'm just, Tom, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't, about Sam Bankman-Fried. Haven't looked into it yet, but it is strange timing, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Very strange that he ends up in prison for doing the exact same thing that all these people are doing. Did you look at it before it went out? I'll have to get back to you on that. That's the answer from the people that sent the money out. $20 billion? How does the military lose $35 trillion? That's where we're at right now. How does the military fail every audit except credit? Hoorah, Marine Corps. They pass all of theirs. They're the only ones out of the branches, though. We've got to give credit to our war veteran over here. All right, so let's go to this now from InfoWars, Glockford Files. It's an indisputable fact at this point that Democrats have been stealing our taxpayer dollars. Play it for me.
$375 billion EPA slush fund handled by John Podesta gave billions to charities founded only months earlier. That's the headline from the New York Post. $375 billion. The Biden administration funneled at least $20 billion into environmental groups, most of which had only been recently founded, the Post has discovered. In one case, former Vice President Kamala Harris handed over a check for nearly $7 billion to Bethesda, Maryland-based group Climate United Fund, which does not appear in the IRS's charity database and has no federal filings. The nonprofit fund has only been incorporated in Delaware on November 30th, 2023, according to public records, just 5 months before Harris handed over the cash in April 2024. Because the company is so new, there is no publicly published accounting of how it plans to spend the $7 billion. This is how the fraud works. This is what they mean when they say waste. It's not waste. It is blatant theft. And it's very simple. Politicians tell their friends, hey, go incorporate a company in Delaware. Call it a charity. Do the right paperwork. And then we'll just cut you a check for $7 billion. You have to do nothing, achieve nothing, prove nothing. You don't have to show how you're going to spend the money. And we will rob the American people of $7 billion and just hand it to you for free. These people are writing themselves $7 billion checks out of...
Now, that's just $7 billion out of the $375 billion that's missing. $375 billion that was handed out by Democrats to other Democrat NGOs. With all these NGOs have names like Climate United Fund. What did that do? And one of them actually produced, they were given billions. I think it may have been Stacey Abrams, the Stacey Abrams NGO that's received billions of dollars. And they actually produced $100 for the year. They received billions and produced, their actual tax return said, we produced $100. That was, and there's no accounting on how they're going to spend this money. There's no federal funding for the Climate United Fund. No federal filing. And handed directly by Kamala Harris, $7 billion. And that's just $7 billion out of the $375 billion. So we're still, there's $368 billion that we've yet to really fully and completely trace. All right, here's Elizabeth McDonald tweet article. This is disturbing. Biden and Obama Democrats created a new beast, the pop-up nonprofit shell, Climate United Fund, which was formed, strangely, 5 months, just in time. If we leave office, you still get your money. Who are they paying off and what for? Is it waste, fraud, and abuse, or just fraud and abuse without it being any waste? Pop-up nonprofit shell. They suddenly launch to take in your taxpayer money, supposedly for things like climate change and illegal immigration. Major front for taxpayer abuse with accusations of grift growing by the hour. Never saw it like this in decades covering IRS and taxes. Check out the tax returns for one of these pop-up NGOs, the Climate United Fund, which was the biggest nonprofit grant in history out of Biden's massive climate slush funds. Which is that $375 billion. Kamala Harris and Biden's EPA chief, Michael Regan, need to be criminally prosecuted. Do we have the balls to criminally prosecute these people for fraud? Because explain to me how this NGO, this nonprofit, has no federal funding and no accountability about how the money's going to be spent. In order for you to qualify for government money, you have to prove through form after form after form where that money's going to go. They didn't do any of that, but still received the $7 billion. Kamala Harris and Biden's EPA chief, Michael Regan, gave $7 billion total to a suddenly created Climate United Fund in April of 2024 after it launched just 5 months earlier in November 30th of 2022, when its tax returns showed that it started with a tiny $547,000 in revenue. But it spent a massive $451,000 of that $547,000 in just 2 months in 2023. A quarter of that on legal fees and the majority, $323,000. This is all climate. I thought this was the climate fund. They spent $451,000 out of their total revenue of $547,000 in just 2 months of 2023. Did they fight the climate? Were they fighting climate change? No, it was all spent on legal fees. A quarter of that was on legal fees. The majority, $323,000, mysteriously blown on no one knows what. Because its tax returns don't say. The only money that they can prove that they spent was on legal fees, and this is the Climate United Fund. And remember, this is $7 billion out of the $375 billion. It has no stipulated plans for how it will spend your $7 billion in tax money, just ephemeral solar projects in Idaho, Arkansas, and Oregon that amount to only about $15 million out of the $7 billion, a fraction of the $7 billion. It also gave money out of that $7 billion to, get ready, guys, Forward Communities linked to Stacey Abrams. Am I telling you? Form one NGO to give money to another NGO, all fully staffed by Democrats receiving multi-million dollar salaries. Stacey Abrams, 3-4 years ago, was worth minus $20,000. Now she's worth $3 million. It has little to no details on how much its officers get paid that you typically see in NGOs, so they're not even telling you who's getting paid what. But all the money's gone. It supposedly is in partnership between Dem Insiders. It supposedly is a partnership between Dem Insiders at investment firm Calvert Impact Capital. How much do you want to bet that's an NGO? Community Preservation Corps and a group called Self Help, irony noted. Beth Bafford is its CEO, a former special assistant at Obama's OMB and regional field director for the Obama campaign. As we tweeted about a month ago, it has ties to Democratic Party of California chairman and California state treasurer Phil Angeles, Obama's transportation secretary, Anthony Fox, United Farm Workers of America co-founder. How much you want to bet all those are NGOs? Dolores Huerta and Patrice Willoughby of the Congressional Black Caucus. Judge Glock, the director of research and senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, noted on X that the Climate United Fund got your $7 billion after submitting a small 49-page report. That's all it took to get $7 billion. And it gets funneled to Stacey Abrams. Credit Elizabeth McDonald on that report. Go to the next report, Will. So just to let you know, here's the good news. Winning. Trump administration, from the Gateway Pundit, Trump administration proposes selling... Aaron, do you remember how many federal buildings we have?
Yes, 400,000.
300,000 federal buildings. That's what we own. You and I. So most crazy. Of which are empty. But again, Tom, you always put this caveat on. I just want you to know that most of them are, they actually have solar powered picnic benches with umbrellas on them. And they go at $250,000, $250,000 a piece. So you can sit as a federal employee at a picnic bench with an umbrella that's solar powered. Just wanted to let you know. So I guess it rises on its own. I don't have any idea. But it's $250,000 a piece, just so you know. 300,000 federal buildings. That's what we own. But the Trump administration is trying to sell 443 federal properties across 47 states, D.C. and Puerto Rico, including, this is my favorite part, maybe my favorite part of the entire show, including DOJ and FBI headquarters. That's awesome. Nancy Pelosi and Dick Cheney buildings are both for sale. I mean, that is the greatest thing in the world. As soon as they sell, make sure you just pull their names right off of them. That is the greatest thing ever. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Mario Nafal tweet. Here it is. I'm just showing you these things. Some of them are local. Some of them are state. Some of them are federal. But it's just, they're all the same. How many NGOs does this fat guy run? How many does he have? 59. 59 NGOs. Is that why this owner of Hyatt Hotels, is that how he bought Hyatt? Was via your taxpayer dollars funneled to him via NGOs? Isn't it great that they're selling the Quantico building? I mean, I just going back to the last slide. Isn't that great? All right. But anyway, Illinois audit, Mario Nafal tweet. Governor Pritzker spent $1.6 billion on illegal immigrant health care, tripled the estimates. A state audit revealed Governor J.B. Pritzker massively underestimated costs, blowing through $1.7 billion on taxpayer-funded health care for illegal immigrants. Now, we 282% over budget. Now, leave this up. Here's what I'm wondering is, where did that money come from? Because a lot of money going to illegals goes through what? NGOs, and who was he paying to distribute that money? Was he paying relatives to distribute that money, paying himself to distribute that money, paying his wife to distribute that money? Because that's the entire system. Again, is via taxpayer dollars, form NGOs, and those NGOs are fully staffed by Democrats getting multi-million dollar salaries who then send it out to support Democratic Party initiatives, Democratic Party campaigns. If you go, this was actually brought up in the, on Bannon's show today. Can't remember who the guest was. But on Bannon's show about Bernie Sanders, which I've talked about a bunch of times, Bernie Sanders, who spent, let's say, $100 million on campaign ads. Well, his wife bought the campaign ads, and via campaign finance law, it's all legal, his wife gets 10% of those ad buys. So he spent $100 million. He spent more than that on those ads. That's why you don't hear Bernie Sanders talking about millionaires and billionaires anymore. All he talks about is billionaires, because now he's a multi-millionaire because his wife bought all his campaign ads. And that's why he's a very dutiful now war hawk. Remember, he used to be anti-war. Remember all that? But now he's a dutiful war hawk. But anyway, so I just want to know, I want to trace these, the money trail, and who paid for these illegal immigrant services. Was it state funding? Was it all state funding? Did it go through Catholic charities, Jewish charities? How did that work out? I want to know. We all need to know now. And that's why all these people are so anti. How dare Elon Musk cut all of these things? They don't want to deep dive into these finances. They don't want to deep dive. Oh, all right, that's good. Dadgummit, I've got so much to get to. That's 10:17. That's good. If I go any further, it's going to be another hour. All right, Rumble Rants. Nate Dad, $50. P. Potter, 11:15, $20. A Gucci Buckeye, $10. Peg Joe, $10. Riff Adota, $10. Braden McGroy, $5. Thank you guys so much. And the rant, appreciate you. Really do appreciate you. Love all of you guys in the chat. Back here tomorrow night. Oh, stick around for the post game. Post game is awesome. Really, seriously, awesome. Stick around for the post game. You're going to love it. You'll be there in 30 seconds from right now. 30 seconds from right now, you'll be at the post game. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.